Trump picked to lead FDA reshapes drug approval pipeline. The Trump administration's selection of Heidi Overton as its nominee to lead the Food and Drug Administration, reported by Stat News on August 20, 2026, marks the most consequential shift in U.S. drug regulatory leadership in years, arriving after acting FDA Commissioner Kyle Diamantis declined a permanent appointment. For institutional investors pricing drug approval risk into healthcare portfolios, the identity of the next FDA commissioner is not a political footnote. It is a valuation variable. The nomination was reported by Stat News journalists Daniel Payne and Chelsea Serrazzo, with Washington correspondent John Wilkerson providing context in the D.C. Diagnosis newsletter. The core sequence is straightforward. The Trump administration first sought to install Diamantis permanently. He declined, and Overton emerged as the chosen candidate. Beyond that sequence, the full details of Overton's policy positions and qualifications are behind the Stat Plus paywall, and the specifics of her regulatory philosophy were not publicly disclosed in the available source text. What is disclosed is the political lineage. Stat's framing describes Overton explicitly as a Trump loyalist, a characterization that carries direct implications for how the FDA will approach drug approvals, clinical trial standards, and the agency's posture toward both the pharmaceutical industry and public health infrastructure. That framing is the news. The identity of the FDA commissioner shapes the approval timeline, labeling requirements, an enforcement posture that determine whether a pharma asset's pipeline is worth the acquisition premium being paid. The nut: every healthcare deal underwritten today embeds assumptions about FDA approval rates, review timelines, and regulatory predictability. A shift in the commissioner's chair, particularly one rooted in political loyalty rather than agency tenure, forces a reassessment of those assumptions across the entire healthcare mergers and acquisitions pipeline. Diamantis's refusal creates a leadership vacuum with real deal timing consequences. Kyle Diamantis, who served as acting commissioner, was the administration's first choice for the permanent role. His refusal to accept the nomination on a permanent basis is itself significant. Acting commissioners who decline permanent appointments typically do so because of disagreement over scope of authority, political conditions inside the agency, or the personal cost of Senate confirmation. Stat's reporting does not specify Diamantis's reasons, and they were not publicly disclosed. What his refusal signals to institutional investors is less about the man and more about the institution. The FDA has faced sustained pressure from the Department of Health and Human Services under this administration, and the fact that the agency's own acting leader declined to formalize his role suggests internal conditions that are not conducive to stability. Regulatory instability at the FDA is not a soft risk. It translates directly into approval delays, enforcement unpredictability, and wider risk spreads on biotech assets awaiting agency decisions. Our view: the Diamantis episode should be read as a yellow flag for any deal that depends on a near-term FDA catalyst. When the person closest to the institution declines the job, the institution itself is telling you something. The Trump loyalist tag signals a specific regulatory posture. Stat's explicit characterization of Overton as a Trump loyalist is not editorial color. It is analytical data. FDA commissioners who arrive with strong political alignment to the executive branch have historically shown patterns that matter to deal underwriting: faster movement on deregulatory priorities, greater willingness to challenge the agency's own scientific staff, and a more confrontational posture toward established approval frameworks. The current administration's broader health policy direction, which includes RFK Jr.'s public presence at events in Iowa as of August 2026, per Stat's reporting, suggests a continued emphasis on challenging institutional health science norms. That context matters because FDA policy does not operate in isolation. It sits inside a broader HHS posture that includes CDC leadership dynamics, NIH funding decisions, and White House health messaging. For pharma acquirers, the question is not whether Overton will approve or reject any specific drug. The question is whether the agency's institutional processes, the review timelines, the advisory committee structures, the real-world evidence standards will remain consistent enough to model. Political commissioners at the FDA have historically compressed some timelines and extended others in ways that are difficult to forecast from the outside. Our view: deals built around platform assets, meaning acquisitions of companies with multi-product pipelines rather than single-asset bets, become relatively more attractive under conditions of regulatory unpredictability. A single-asset biotech, where the entire deal thesis rests on one FDA decision, is structurally more exposed to commissioner-level risk than a diversified pipeline. Healthcare mergers and acquisitions deal underwriting must now reprice regulatory risk pharma and biotech mergers and acquisitions activity in 2025 and early 2026 was underwritten against a specific set of FDA assumptions, including the continuity of the agency's existing review infrastructure. Those assumptions require updating. The historical precedent is instructive. During periods of elevated FDA leadership turnover or political reconfiguration, such as the transition periods following major administration changes, deal multiples for pre-approval biotech assets have compressed as buyers demanded larger discount rates to compensate for approval uncertainty. The specific magnitude of those adjustments varies by therapeutic area, indication, and development stage, and current deal-level data for 2026 transactions are not available in the source material. What can be stated with confidence is the directional logic: more regulatory uncertainty equals higher discount rates on pipeline assets, which equals lower acquisition multiples for pre-approval targets, which equals a buyer's market for well-capitalized strategic acquirers with the balance sheet to wait out the uncertainty. Caption: regulatory risk factors from the August 2026 FDA nomination and their deal pricing implications. Sources: Stat News. Pricing implications represent Plaquemium analysis. Overton's nomination reshapes the calendar for pending FDA decisions. The FDA commissioner role is not ceremonial. The commissioner sets agency priorities, controls resource allocation across review divisions, and has direct influence over the pace and character of advisory committee meetings. A new permanent commissioner following a period of acting leadership typically requires 3 to 6 months to fully operationalize a distinct agenda. That transition window creates a specific pattern. Approvals and enforcement actions that were in process under the acting commissioner may proceed on existing timelines, while new submissions entering review after the leadership shift face the new commissioner's framework. For dealmakers, this creates a narrow window. Assets already deep in the FDA review process carry relatively lower transition risk. Assets earlier in the pipeline, particularly those that would require a major advisory committee convening under Overton's watch, carry higher uncertainty. Stats reporting also references an FDA approval of an Ultragenyx gene therapy and scrutiny of Hewitt-Aigens disclosures following a patient death, both from August 2026. These parallel stories confirm that the FDA's operational calendar continues to move regardless of leadership status, which means institutional investors cannot pause deal activity pending nomination clarity. They must price the risk now. The Plaquemium view: the market is treating the Overton nomination as a political story. It is a valuation story. Here is the thesis the source article does not make. FDA commissioner transitions under politically driven appointments have historically acted as a hidden multiple compressor for mid-stage biotech acquisitions, not because commissioners block deals, but because they introduce approval timing variance that makes discounted cash flow models unreliable. When discounted cash flow models become unreliable, strategic acquirers lower their bids, and the gap between seller expectations and buyer willingness widens. The second-order play is in the large-cap pharmaceutical acquirers, companies with the balance sheet and diversified portfolios to absorb timeline risk and the regulatory affairs infrastructure to navigate a shifting agency posture. They benefit from a buyer's market in biotech assets, precisely when smaller acquirers and financial sponsors are pulling back. The third-order implication involves biosimilars and generic drug approvals, which operate on a separate FDA track but are still subject to commissioner-level prioritization. Any slowdown or acceleration in that track has direct implications for specialty pharma deal structures. Plaquemium's position: healthcare investors should move toward platform acquisitions and away from single-catalyst biotech bets in the near term. The Overton nomination does not close the window on healthcare mergers and acquisitions. It changes the shape of the window. The deals that get done in the next 12 months will be structurally different from those underwritten in 2025, and the buyers who adapt fastest to the new regulatory variance premium will outperform those who reprice nothing. The bottom line: Heidi Overton's nomination to lead the FDA, following Kyle Diamantis's refusal to take the permanent role, is not background noise for healthcare investors. It is a primary input into every deal model that carries FDA approval risk. Political commissioner nominations compress biotech acquisition multiples, widen discount rates on pre-approval pipeline assets, and reward strategic acquirers with the capital and patience to hold through regulatory uncertainty. The investors who reprice this risk today will find opportunity in the gap. Those who do not will discover it in their returns.